Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nixendoik Kalkyables Show. My name is Nixendoik Kalkyables, the namesake for this here podcast. There are a lot of reasons why persons, not people, persons, I'm going to use U.S. government terms here, will use mobile computers. You know, these handheld things that Rick Beato calls thought deletion devices. The conditioning term would be smartphone. That is complete bullspit. Now, why would someone be using a thought deletion device? Well, it is absolutely convenient. And, weirdly enough, these are practically forced onto everyone as young as legally possible. This is absolutely disgusting. Now, you may remember this phenomenon, which is still there today, of the iPad baby. I was an iPad child, not an iPad baby, necessarily. This starts with unlimited access to the internet with an electronic device of some sort, like a tablet or a thought deletion device. This is way too toxic for children, and they need to be out of the internet until they can understand how toxic it is. These things are also designed to be productivity suckers, which is why Beato called these things thought deletion devices. And I will be using these things as this term from this point forward in this podcast. Thought deletion devices are also designed to spy on anyone through what is called an IMEI and an IMSI. These are identifiers for a particular thought deletion device. Now, for example, my own thought deletion device, a Google Pixel 8 Pro with Graphene OS on it, will have the same IMEI and IMSI, but it doesn't matter the operating system. For example, you have the iThought Deletion Device 17. That thing will have a different IMEI and IMSI, and it's different for each unit that is sold. By the way, in some juries and other sub-juries thereof, diction, I wouldn't add diction to the end of that, that's stupid. It's actually considered unlawful to change the IMEI and IMSI. Now, thought deletion devices are also classified as addiction central. This is for both physical and software purposes, radicalizing laziness and not promoting productivity and work ethic. I would know because my work ethic is pretty horrible at times, but I've been fixing my horrible work ethic as of late. Now, this is not to mention that in most cases, most software for an iThought deletion device or a Googled Android thought deletion device is weaponized. This is when we're talking about stuff made by the developers and the manufacturers of these thought deletion devices. So, what can we do about this weaponization of IMEIs, IMSIs, and weaponization of operating systems and the apps thereof? I have done a little bit of research on ways we can ditch the thought deletion device almost entirely, with a few exceptions. I have many, many, many types of devices I could do, but I'm going to do maybe a couple. Many of these things are supposedly obsolete. This is just a ploy for people to use a thought deletion device for everything. Plus, on top of that, that's what they want you to think. I have mentioned Ghost several times on this podcast. His articles on his blog are really, really, really good. Waveflake side and Podcast 2.0 side will see that I have placed a link in the show notes of this episode. That link will bring you to an article on Ghost's blog on exactly how you can essentially use stuff that's considered obsolete when it isn't really obsolete, when it's actually freedom. Now, these obsolete software do not make a generation of functionally stupid people. I happen to be functionally stupid. Everybody is, at one point or another. We just have to figure out where the functional stupidity comes from and where we can fix it. Alternatively speaking, we have a lot of different devices that will replace a thought deletion device ultimately. It will require more technical gadgets. However, you will be decentralizing your life even more when you do this. Let's go on the first thing you would need to replace instead of a thought deletion device: the digital camera. Now, don't get me wrong. Thought deletion devices have good quality cameras that can capture some seriously good quality images. Now, these are compact cameras, which of course replace actual compact cameras losing popularity. But the thought deletion device had already replaced it. And not to mention, you don't need to do photo editing anymore when you let an AI do it for you. This is stupid. Do not let an AI do it for you. It will actually mangle everything. Oh, and that AI, yeah, that AI is probably going to end up spying on you, so don't even try that. I would rather a digital camera than a thought deletion device. Now, on the cameras to recommend, there are many, many, many types of cameras that I've tried to research, but I'm going to go through, I think, 3 or 4 today. Now, the retail I'm going to be using for the prices for these cameras will be B&H Photo Video, because they have a lot of decent prices on good quality photo and video technology. So this is going to be a big reason why I happen to be doing this. Now, there's a lot of research I try to do for this one. And on top of that, a desire for affordable cameras. I would probably do something under $1,000, but I will have higher brackets, if you will. So let's do something like a DSLR, a digital single lens reflex camera. Think of a DSLR as a lens acting like an eye. When light goes into the lens, it'll bounce onto a mirror, go up, and going through a couple different parts of this camera. It will go into this little box called a pentaprism, where it'll go through 2 or 3 mirrors. Once it bounces through those mirrors, then that light goes to the viewfinder. For this type of camera, you are looking at, with just the body, a Pentax KF, which is just under $600 US. At the time of recording. If you want something from Nikon, you're looking at the D7500, which is under $800 US. For those looking for a Canon option, that will be the EOS Rebel SL3, which is under $650 US. Now we have mirrorless cameras. Think of this as a DSLR, but without any mirrors, and it's essentially what you see is what you get on the viewfinder. That's the long and the short of it. Now, if you want this type of camera, you're looking at either a Canon EOS R100, which is under $530 US, or if you want to go for the Nikon option, in Japanese I think it'd be Nikon, you're looking at the Z30, which is just shy of $710 US. Next up, point and shoot cameras. What I call here in my notes, PNS cameras. These are essentially your pocket cameras that you just have with you in your pocket. That's essentially your pocket camera. Now, your best bet looks to be the Kodak PixPro AZ255, which is under $170 US. Now we're going to go into medium format. Medium format is the most expensive format on here. It's pretty insane what this type of thing is capable of. It has a large sensor, very, very big, and a pretty large aspect ratio, but this is for the professionals who have actually made it. Now, you're looking at $5,600 for a DSLR in the Fujifilm GFX100RF, and for the GFX100 S2, a mirrorless camera, that is just under $5,700. Yes, under $5,700 if mirrorless. This is just the tip of the iceberg, because if you want to get a DSLR like the Hasselblad H6D100C, good luck paying $33,000 for it. You can't. Now, lenses are not factored into this, nor are other accessories. And I was actually reading on how photography is supposed to work if done right. But even the thought deletion device could work under certain conditions, but I would not recommend it. Next, used shenanigans. You're looking at under $180 for a Canon EOS 7D DSLR, or a Nikon D5200 for under $240. Mirrorless deals, it seems to be the OM system, OM-DEM1. OM system used to be called Olympus, which is a Micro Four Thirds camera, or 4:3 aspect ratio. So essentially what things used to be back in the day, not widescreen, okay? Widescreen is 16:9 aspect ratio. 4:3 is something else entirely. That is $400. For a point and shoot, you're looking at a Canon PowerShot SX20 IS for $150. Medium format looks to be $2,000 for a Pentax 645D. And I'm surprised these things are still around. But that's just your cameras. Just the base body for the camera. I'm not factoring in the lenses. I'm not factoring in other accessories for photography. Next, calculators. Most people would just use a calculator on their thought deletion device. Almost none of them realize that these can and probably are going to be spyware. Now, if you want to get out of that, Texas Instruments is potentially a good option, but their software is proprietary, so maybe avoid that. There is, however, an open source calculator in NumWorks. I have used the app on my tablet and my thought deletion device myself because it is open source. I have no idea if it's Libre though. Next will be the MP3 player. People were considered to be cool if they had one, and I had one or two of them, though I don't think my high school musical one for my Disneyland trip in 2008, I don't think that works anymore. Either that or I just don't have the thing where I can charge the battery for it. Anyway, MP3 players are designated for playing music playlists, and people share their music tastes with others. Streaming services are what killed the MP3 player, ultimately speaking. So this is not necessarily a hardware side, but more of a software deal. Plus, digital locks. Bad news. Anyway, the solution to this is very simple. There are lots of people looking into getting new, brand new MP3 players, which still exist. Though, to be fair, there's more support for audio and video formats potentially, even nowadays. Some are going with modifying an iPod 5th generation. I'm talking about the iPod Classic. There are conversion kits designed for the iPod 5th gen, which are awesome from what I looked at. Oh, and if you want to find something like this, and actually pay for it, specifically an iPod 5th generation that still works, you can take a look at Elite Obsolete Electronics, as I think it's just one guy, but this individual behind EOE makes refurbished and custom iPods of all types from one look at the site I had recently at the time of recording. And this is for people that are into the iPod, that still want an iPod that actually lets you plug in your own darn headphones. That's kind of cool, right? Now, you can just locally download music and listen to it around the house with something that supports it, including but not limited to a thought deletion device. I mean, if you wanted to use a thought deletion device for local music playing and don't want a streaming service, this may be a good option. But I would personally recommend an MP3 player, something like an iPod 5th gen, because I definitely want to try an iPod 5th gen modified big time. But there isn't much from the looks of things. And this episode actually wasn't as short as I thought. However, I am going to go ahead and end this one here. That said, every episode releases every Wednesday afternoon, provided there are no scheduling conflicts, at 4 p.m. Pacific time. You can listen to this podcast on Wavelink, YouTube, and any other Podcast 2.0 player. Examples include Podverse, Fountain, AntennaPod, but there are many more that support the 2.0 standard. You can copy the RSS feed located in the YouTube show notes and paste it to a player that doesn't support the 2.0 standard. I listen on AntennaPod on my Pixel 8 Pro with Graphene OS, and it works absolutely great for my needs, especially with just a quick search. That said, I am out of time for today's episode. Thank you, and good night.